Welcome back to the Atlantic Hour Across the Pond. I'm your host, James, and with me is...
Tom. Again, every week.
We don't have Eva today. She was a little busy, so it's just going to be the two of us having a...
She's defending the Panama Canal right now. She's just standing there with a big plaque. She's tied herself to some ships.
Discussion.
Hopefully she gets out soon.
So... Today we are going to be discussing an issue which is all over the news. The state of American security after the Trump administration mistakenly added the chief editor of the Atlantic Hour to a
group. The Atlantic Hour? I've been in the group chat much longer than this guy. And I promise you, there's some worse stuff.
Maybe
in there.
Trump will add us to a group chat.
Yeah, we're close enough. Like,
And what this means for the status of American security under the Trump administration.
Yeah.
So, Jeff Goldberg was put in a group chat headed by Pete Hegseth, the current defense secretary, and some of the administration's top defense people. So you've got Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance, Steve Witkoff, and unwittingly to everyone in the group chat, Goldberg was able to stay for, I believe, multiple weeks, and was privy to very sensitive information on the administration's plans to bomb Yemen. He didn't believe that the group chat was real at first until he saw that the actual plans that they discussed were carried out. And the person left carrying the bag for all of this is Mike Waltz, who attests that he doesn't know how Goldberg got in the chat and that it was a grave error. So what do you think?
I think it's an interesting story. I think it sort of demonstrates maybe like everyone sort of goes like, Trump's picked these are Trump's own people, and it's sort of maybe starting to show why, you know, it's normally you pick traditional politicians over media personalities and people you like, because clearly, like, especially like these defense people had no idea what they were doing in regards to like security. Like, how do you just have random numbers on the group, like a US defense group chat? Interesting, why isn't Donald Trump in the group chat? I thought that was quite interesting, but... I guess maybe that's just not as important for him. But it just seems absolutely mental. Like, because in the UK we have these WhatsApp leaks all the time, but those are always leaked by politicians. It's weird that they've just self-leaked themselves. I mean, this probably isn't a deliberate act. I think there's any possibility it could be. Like, someone's added him. But it seems like they're in such a honeymoon period right now that probably isn't the case. I would doubt it anyway. But I think it's very... damning. It's quite humiliating. It's sort of like the last, we sort of saw in the first maybe 6 weeks of Trump's administration, it was all good news. And then after this second round of tariffs, which I think have been a sort of a defeat for Trump, and then this, it's sort of showing maybe the weakness of his cabinet and his sort of position in the government, in that he's the most senior among people who are very unsenior. Like, Pete Hegseth was a media person. Like, my first assumption was that this is... Because there's always these rumours that Trump loves media personalities, is that this is either someone that they all like, who either they've put in by accident, or they've thought Trump would like him to be in, or, like... But see, obviously, that's not the case. But, like, this obsession with media that Trump has...
It's all about the optics and making the administration look good. This hasn't made the administration look good. So, as you said, maybe this will make Trump rethink. As we've seen from his first administration, he's a man who loves this revolving door concept of hiring and firing people over a matter of months. So I think everyone's waiting for the first casualty of the second administration.
This could be it. Mike, is Waltz his name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my question to you is, will Hegseth survive this?
Yes. Because obviously someone else has taken full responsibility, but I think it's certainly a mark against his name. But I mean, it's the conversations between him and J.D. Vance which are the worst ones. It's the I hate bailing out Europe, and then him going, I also hate bailing. Like, it's this, like, but ultimately Donald Trump will probably back my, like, from what the bits I've read, there's nothing that, apart from the fact that it's been leaked, there's nothing he says that is particularly damning. And most of it is just fairly factual. Like,
well, you've got a text from Hegseth saying we are clean on OPSEC, which for our listeners is operational security. Yeah. So that's deeply ironic when you've got Goldberg sitting in the chat.
Yeah. It's just interesting. Like, I mean, I didn't know, like, obviously with them, but cutting the American Civil Service, like, how do these things even get made? Like, surely, like, someone higher up writes a list. So, I mean, does he have a name similar to someone else? I don't know. It's all a bit... It's just so difficult to understand how this would have happened, if not deliberately. And if it has happened deliberately, is this a massive backfire? I don't know enough about The Atlantic to know if it's pro-Trump, anti-Trump. I assume anti-Trump, given that they've released all the documents. But, like, I just find it all, like... I don't think it reflects as badly on Hegseth as it does Waltz. But I don't think it's also... It's.
I mean, you've got two levels to this. There's the fact that it's a funny moment that the administration looks like they are on the back foot.
It doesn't hurt anyone.
Like, the media... So, like, it's like a win for, like, David against Goliath after Trump's trying to bar a ton of media from speaking out against the administration. And then you've got the broader, deeply worrying element that American national security is being neglected by the administration as they're blasé about the fact that they let an editor-in-chief of one of the most prominent media magazines in the US into a group chat where they were presenting highly classified information.
And then there's a third problem as well, is that it looks like J.D. Vance was using disappearing messages, which I think is against the law to... delete official government communication.
Right.
So there's the third element of what have we not seen, or what are we not, what is happening in these group chats that we'll never see. Obviously, Signal is encrypted, but, like, you know what? It's already just demonstrating a sort of a lack of respect for the rules. But you could sort of take also look at it from two perspectives. In that, yeah, it's a funny moment, and, like, realistically, he's actually been fined, like. Goldberg's been pretty professional about it. He's obviously waited for the strikes to happen before he's revealed anything. Like, he's not been, like, tweeting, I know what's going to happen. Like, there's going to be a strike in 10 minutes, which, like, I think some reporters would do. Like, he's, you know, and it's sort of a more of a wake-up call to the administration than a like, a sort of a devastating blow. But on the other hand, like, yeah, it's terrible for national security that that could even happen. But maybe, you know... It improves betting in the future. But I'd sort of doubt it, because I sort of think this whole, and at the moment especially, the whole administration is very run on, like, feelings and, like,
vibes,
like, just initial ideas, like just everyone's sort of not happy to be there, but, like, not into learning. Most of the people, like, it's their first or, like, by far their most important cabinet position. Like, this is all sort of running off what we should do, how we're going to do it. Well, let's do this, make a group chat, let's do this. Like, I feel like obviously group chats will have been in government for ages, but I just think like the way that it's all being run now, especially with like this whole cutting of the entire government, is that it's becoming very much more dependent on these people who are the least experienced people who've ever had these jobs.
I think that there is an argument to be made that maybe Goldberg could have waited even longer and given people more transparency about what's going on in these group chats if he really wanted to damage the administration.
Yeah, I think he could, but I think when we were talking about this earlier, it was like, how long can you stay in these things before you're sort of you're no longer a journalist, you're sort of baiting it.
Right.
Like, you're like, I think he waited the perfect amount of time. From what I've seen anyway, he sort of waited for the strikes to have happened and then went, look, guys, I'm in this group chat. Or like, and then when they went, no, you're not, he then had to prove it, which I think was a terrible idea. But I think, I mean, it's an operational group chat. So as far as I know, it probably would have died right after. I mean, maybe if they picked up attacks on the Houthis again, it might have been reused. But like...
I want to pick up on something else you said as well, which is, interestingly, Trump hasn't put out a statement about this.
I've seen him talk about it, but he hasn't. I've seen him sort of basically just go, like, it's classic. Like, I feel like I've seen him do it about 6 times in the last 3 weeks. It's just go, oh, has that happened? Oh, that probably shouldn't happen. I'll look into it. And then people take it like it's a promise.
Mm.
Like, he just, like, it's incredible how, like, he can just, like, him just going, oh, really? Like it's not his job to know. It's like, it's crazy. Like just, oh, really? That's quite bad, actually.
I think also, especially after everything in Ukraine.
Yes.
And the fact that his plans around trying to get this 30-day ceasefire, which Putin is resisting with all effort, is the fact that his foreign policy in the past 2 months is not going to plan.
No, it's going quite badly. I mean, I felt like the second round of tariffs on Mexico and Canada went really badly for him, because it seems to have really Mark Carney is
mobilized to fight now.
He's all over my Twitter page anyway, but that's because I was researching him. But like, it really feels like the Liberal Party in Canada have gone from a very weak position to quite a strong position very quickly.
Mm.
Like, Mark Carney is really mobilizing people around him, and they haven't actually had to give up really anything in the second round of tariffs. They've just
right-leaning candidate Poilievre was teed up to win
election,
and now Carney's like called a snap election on the 28th of April to almost to seal the fact that the Liberal Party will
And it's an incredible turnaround, and it's all because of Donald Trump, and it's not what he wanted. Poilievre is much more right-wing than Carney, and then it really didn't seem like Canada had to give up that much to drop the tariffs, the bigger tariffs that were imposed on them. Obviously, they've still got tariffs each way.
Mm.
And then this whole Ukraine thing is sort of like actually massively backfired, because we spoke about last week, the exchange in the White House. But then they sort of come back and sort of semi-agreed to do the same deal.
Mm.
But now Russia have turned. So they've joined sides with Russia, and then Russia have turned against them. Like, it's not going as good as he wants. And I think the problem with Trump is that I think his reaction to that will be to go even more extreme. And I think that might be tariffs, bigger tariffs on Europe.
Because keep doing this, what friends do you have left in the world?
Exactly, but does America need friends? I think his argument would be America doesn't need friends.
I think the fact that the foreign policy is backfiring is the reality that even America needs friends.
Yeah, you know, I 100% agree with a globalised world. But I think just the way he looks at it, If tomorrow he could say, America will cut all diplomatic ties with every nation, but America will be sustained, and like, you know, farms will create food, and like, America will survive. Maybe not as well as it has in the last century, but America will be there, and it will sort of be run by Americans and all that. He'd take that immediately. Like, I don't think that's how it works, and I don't think it would work if you did that. Obviously, the American economy massively relies on exports and, you know, its influence around the world, its soft power as much as its hard power.
Mm.
But I don't think he really cares about soft power, which is why I think other countries like Britain should be trying to increase theirs. But the last, especially 6 weeks of foreign policy have just been dreadful from him.
Mm.
Like, he hasn't really managed to make any impact. And like, the sort of initial impact statements of, I'm going to turn Gaza into a beach resort, and I'm going to take Greenland. So Greenland's the thing. Greenland's the on the rotating wheel of Gaza, Ukraine, Canada, Greenland, Panama. The wheel has spun, and now we're on Greenland right now. JD Vance is going this week, I think. There was a new Greenland election. I think this is the first time a Greenland election has ever been reported on by the BBC. But I was reading about it, and like all Greenland parties but one want to cut ties with Denmark.
Mm.
The party that won is sort of the most moderate, in that they basically just want to do what we do with all our countries, and used to be our countries. and sort of go like just a sort of a gradual separation, but obviously still keeping Danish royal family.
We'll take Canada back.
I'd love that. That'd be so much easier.
Kingdom of Great Britain and Canada. What,
I was reading the other day that Trump wanted to join the Commonwealth. Did you read that?
Really?
Do a quick Google of it, because I don't know if it's absolutely fake news, but I read that like he suggested that he'd wanted, like, he's like, because I think, like, obviously they were a colony. They weren't part of the British Empire, because for any history buffs out there, the British Empire sort of existed post War of Revolution. But there are Greenland parties. The party that won didn't get a majority, so they have to form a coalition with other parties who want closer ties with America. The BBC didn't say if any of them actually wanted it. Only one of them actually wanted to be part of America.
Mm.
But like, the thing is, that's just the issue of the week. And next week it'll be Panama. That's why Eva's there. And then the week after, it'll be Canada again, because it'll be the election. And like, it's just gonna. I feel like this Trump administration is falling down a pattern of this revolving wheel of issue of the week. And importantly, none of those issues are America. The guy who's sort of campaigning on America First, all this sort of stuff, is really...
The headlines have been dominated by foreign policy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, apart from all this stuff with the universities...
Like I want to have one hot take, which is... He's dealing with all the foreign policy while he lets Musk run the government domestically.
Yeah, but that's failing as well. I think I've read more stuff in the last 2 weeks about the Supreme Court blocking a lot of these decisions.
You've almost got two presidents, and they're kind of the same mold.
Yeah.
And Musk's personal wealth is in jeopardy. I know he's putting a lot of his money into SpaceX, as Tesla's not doing very well at the moment after all the vehement protesting.
So I've just got it up here. So he did write this on Truth Social. So right. This is the thing with Donald Trump. He'll sort of just say things.
For all you Truth Social fans out there.
Yeah, yeah. Which I'll repost it on Twitter. I don't know why it doesn't shut down. It's a complete side note. But I don't know what's the point of having both. You're basically in control of Twitter and Truth Social. Like, they're a Venn diagram that's just a circle. he wrote, "I love King Charles." And then when talking about a Daily Mail article that suggested... So I think a UK lawyer said that the US could join the Commonwealth. Mm. He just replied, "Sounds good to me."
I think that's a good segue. And
apparently the King made a secret offer. That's why he's the second. That's why he's getting that second visit.
Topic for this week, which is the royal family.
God save the King.
For how long?
Well, he seems like he's a healthy bloke. I don't know, it's sort of the last year has been very interesting for the royal family, hasn't it? Because it's sort of, for the last 1,000 years, the royal family have sort of been untouchable. Like, obviously we no longer have the opinion of them that they are descendants of God and all this sort of stuff, but like, they're still supposed to sort of be, not empire.
For Britain, is it important to still have that soft power?
Yes, I think.
Do you think the royal family still have that kind of
international
wow factor?
100,000%. We're the only country in the world that can outdo America on that. Because, Americans come to a country, or Americans come to Britain on Air Force One or Marine One, and they come with their troops and, like, you know, everything. It's incredible. It's just like a site of, like, extreme wealth and power, and they sit down at a state dinner in the most incredible palace in the world, and King Charles will whip out his personal bagpipist. And Donald Trump can spend as many billions as he wants, but he will never have his own bagpipe. He'll never have his own personal bagpipist. And that's just the way that, like, I feel like the royal family is so important to Britain, especially.
I feel like you're describing is kind of like that.
It's a level of
Great Gatsby moment, where it's like you can buy the wealth, you can't buy the status.
You can't buy status and reputation and respect.
Mm.
And the royal family has all of that. The royals have connections with, the royal family have known the Saudi royal family. Like, the King has known the Saudi royal family since they were all children.
Right.
Donald Trump can never replace that relationship.
Mm.
Like, the relationship building that the King or the royal family, members of the royal family, have with most of the other royal families, or non-dictatorships around the world. Obviously, they're not people you massively want to be friends with, but they're unfortunately, people you have to be friends with.
Right.
I feel like the royal family is the only thing that can out... It's the only thing that can outclass the just the sheer economic strength and power of America, is that we're sort of a small country that, you know, has so much tradition around this one family. Mm. And everyone knows that the Queen was the most famous person in the world. Yeah. I don't 100% believe Charles is. I don't think
The thing is that with Trump's personality, it seems almost a certainty that he would want to be the most famous man in the world.
He's the most famous man in the world. I don't think... Maybe not. I think the problem is the most famous person in the world is like Messi or Ronaldo now, which is fine. But like, I think Donald Trump's probably up there with Charles just because of the amount of media coverage he's got over the last decade. Like,
one man dominating the headlines for 12 years is an incredible feat, whether you like the man or not.
But you could... Prince Charles has dominated headlines his entire life, just like maybe not into the scale of... You know, like, there's never been... Like, there has been a time and there will be a time where Donald Trump is out of the news cycle. Even in the past 4 years,
there will,
when he wasn't president.
Until he passes away, and then all that media coverage gets dredged up again.
Yeah, but when Charles passes away, he has, you know, however long of a life he lives of media coverage. Like, Donald Trump's life... like, I don't know, public life obviously started in 2016.
The man will be 82 once his term ends, if he decides to give up power.
Yeah, and I think that will be a very fun debate we get to have in the future. But, no, I think obviously, I think the good thing about the monarchy, I remember what I was listening to, and they were basically saying that the reason why we should like the monarchy or we should accept it in England, because ultimately it makes no sense. Like, why do we give all these people money? And obviously, you could say they generate money, and I agree with that argument as well. But, like, one thing that we have in the UK, and I think other Commonwealth countries might appreciate as well, but I don't know as much, because obviously the monarch's not there, is that they have a head of state that is permanent. Mm. And, like, the Prime Minister doesn't have the... Prime Minister has a lot of pressure on them, but ultimately Britain's head of state remains constant. So there's no worry that the British system will collapse because the King's there or the Queen's there. Mm. There's no worry that, like, you know, Britain as a nation or Canada as a nation, Australia will sort of, you know, a Prime Minister can do a million things, but they'll never be the head of state. Mm. Like, and that takes a lot of pressure off, I think, a Prime Minister. Also, just not to represent Britain entirely. Like, ultimately, the King represents Britain. The Prime Minister represents British interest. Like, and the problem with America is that the president is everything. The president is the commander-in-chief. The president is in charge of America's interests. The American head of state is in charge of the army. He's in charge of the civil service. He's in charge of everything.
Mm. Whereas it's becoming more that way.
Exactly. And in the UK and around the world, we're becoming more and more presidential. Mm. But also, there's still that backstop of you're not the biggest person in this
system. I think you've brought up something super interesting, which is, where is the line drawn against Donald Trump? The only people that seem to want to challenge him are some of these judges at federal and state level who are dissenting against some of the policies he's put in place. The thing I was listening to the other day said that after a judge puts forward a ruling that says what Donald Trump's done is not constitutional, if the government continues in doing that action, then the judge has the power to put forward a sanction. The problem in the US system is it's run on convention, and judges haven't had to impose sanctions on rulings which are unconstitutional in so long that they're very reluctant to do it.
Yeah, and I think that probably... I think that the courts are the only thing that can stop Trump, because obviously he has control over the two other branches, and the way America's set up, the courts can. I don't massively like the idea of sanctioning a president, if that makes sense, because ultimately those are things he wants to do. And the court's job, I believe, is to go, no. I don't know what form a sanction would take. It's not going to be prison time, is it? Like, is it just literally just a written down? Because if it's that, then maybe that's fine. If it's
a slap on the wrist, then I feel like the administration is going to go right ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what? Nothing's going to stop. Like, you're not going to put him in prison. You're not going to fine him. Like, or you're not going to fine the government. Because you are the government. Like, I think it's fine for, because he has a mandate. I think it's fine for him to try what he wants, but I don't. But if that's the job of the courts to go no, it's not. I don't necessarily think it's the job of the courts to punish him for that, because that's what he was like. He has a clear electoral mandate, and then in the UK, like, that wouldn't happen. In the UK, you would just change the law, and the Supreme Court would step aside. But like, that's why the American system is a little bit better, because in the UK, our courts are so weak that the government can basically do whatever they want without much. As long as it's a semi-popular decision, they can move it out of the way. Whereas in the US, they actually have entrenched laws and conventions. And I guess the other problem with that is that a lot of their laws are held up by these conventions, which is not right. So like, gay marriage, abortion shouldn't be held up by court precedents instead of laws. But ultimately, while they work, and obviously we saw with the overturning of Roe v. Wade that can change, but I think in these lower courts, you're never going to be able to get the domination of conservatives that Trump has in the Supreme Court, which are too sort of not rebelling against him, but they're not sort of rubber stamping. Or the decisions that he's taken to the Supreme Court so far have not got through. So like, it's very interesting how sort of will Trump's battle with the legal system, will that join the wheel?
The other side of it is, are some of these foreign powers going to step up and start challenging Trump?
No. Canada will. Britain won't. Most.
I think Europe might start being more forceful in their challenge to Trump.
I don't think while the Ukraine war's going on, they will. I think once the Ukraine war's over, maybe Europe is viewed as a bit more free, but ultimately, the US has a $50 billion leverage on Europe right now, which is, you know, if we should, I don't know if he's giving it anymore. I've seen sort of conflicting reports, like him, like I think Vinnie Vance tweeted a money given under the Biden administration, money given under the Trump. But obviously something's paying for Ukraine and it's not all Europe. So like, I think while the Ukraine war's going on, the whole of Europe is going to be very tetchy around annoying America, because ultimately they still would much, much, much rather the US-funded elements of it. Even if it means them, like, Ukraine signing a very unfair mineral deal. Like, it's just more justifiable and cheaper for Europe. But I think once the Ukraine war's over, I think you might be right. I think, but like, the problem is that like, America's so important that like, if Donald Trump came out tomorrow and went, look, I'm not going to pursue this Canada thing anymore. Canada would go back to be America's best friend, because Canada needs to be America's best friend. Mexico just sort of seems to like sort of roll over. Like the Mexican president very, very sensibly just sort of goes, I mean, maybe that's the best thing to do, is to just sort of ask Trump what he wants, because he usually doesn't want much. Like when like the whole tariff thing was going on, he was like, all she basically conceded was that she'd move the army up, she'd put more people on the border and try and stop fentanyl, and that was enough to cancel the tariffs. China is obviously already sort of standing up to America, but that's not new. I think China will be America's enemy post-Ukraine war as well.
Yeah.
That's
The those are the two big spheres of influence.
But then, are Europe going to side with China? Maybe? I don't know. This is all very difficult. Because
I saw an article that said Trump has blown up the entire world order. Do you agree with that? Or do you think there will be a level of bounce back, especially after his term, where you get a return to that kind of Western versus Eastern alliances?
I think he could. I think by the end of his 4 years, we could go Trump blow up this. I think now's a bit early to call it. But I think we've got to see how the Ukraine war plays out. We've got to see how Gaza-Israel plays out. And if sort of the traditional, like, it's sort of whether NATO and the UN stay intact, and NATO is looking, but also NATO's such a, like, you sort of argue that NATO's very antiquated. It was built to to you know, against a thing that doesn't exist anymore. It was meant to rival the Warsaw Pact, or the Warsaw Pact was meant to rival NATO, but it doesn't exist anymore. Like, you could argue post Russia Ukraine, you can maybe look at revising what NATO really is. It's a military alliance, but is the existence of NATO causing more more upset than it needs to? But also, would dismantling NATO basically give Russia free rein to take over the countries it used to control? It's a difficult argument. I think elements of the traditional world order still exist. I mean, I think the International Criminal Court really needs to get someone, if that makes sense. Like, they've the Malaysian president, they've recently convicted. You obviously not Zelensky, Putin, Netanyahu, the leaders of Hamas. I can't remember the names. I feel like all these international institutions, which would consist of the world order, obviously America isn't part of the ICC, but like they need a win, if that makes sense. And then I can't see them getting one. And I can't see Trump giving them one, because Trump doesn't like them. So I could see by the end of the 4 years, Trump pulling out of NATO, or NATO disbanding, or like we look at sort of revising the UN Security Council. Does the UK need to be there? No. The traditional world order could be upended by the end of his presidency, I think. But right now it's difficult to say.
Well, watch this space.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I think that's all we have time for this week. On a positive note.
Yeah. Could not.
All right. We'll speak to you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.